From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the second day of June 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. The folks from Earth Risk Technologies will be here as we close out our program. We'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast with them. And we'll discuss the cash grain market with the guys out at the Andersons right here in Champaign County as we make our way through this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. Daryl Good will be here too, along with the president of the University of Illinois, discussing the land grant mission and how it has changed since it was established under President Abraham Lincoln. And it all happens right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Oh, one more item. I'll be asking to pledge your financial support for our programming, too. So get ready to do that as we make our way through this half hour of agriculture.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC, providing nationwide land auctions, farmland sales and management, and financial advice for agribusiness. Information on upcoming land auctions and offerings can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
In Chicago for this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day mixed. The nearby contract, the soft red July at $6.20¾, was down 6.5. The hard red July at $7.18¾, 4¼ lower. And July corn was down 0.25¢ at the end of the day. Its settlement price at $4.65¼. September on out were higher, $4.59¼. The settlement price up a penny and a quarter. In September, corn new crop December up 1¢ at $4.58½, and the March at $4.67½, up 1¢. July futures of next year $4.79¾, up 0.75¢. Bean futures finished the nearby July at $15.15, up 7¼. August at $14.27. 2.5¢ higher, and then things turn negative. September contract down 3¾ at $12.82, and November beans at $12.29¾ down 4¢. January $12.35¾, 3¾ lower. March contract $12.39¼ down 4¢ for the day. Bean meal at $5.06 up $5.80. Bean oil at $38.31. That finished down 19 cents. Live cattle futures in the June at $137.70, a dime lower for the day. August at $139.12½, up 52.5¢. August feeders at $197.57½, up 52.5¢. And June lean hogs on the afternoon at $113.12½, finished down 22.5¢. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the afternoon. July contract $102.46 a barrel, down 25 cents. The Arbob gasoline or wholesale price at $2.95¼. That's a penny and 7¢ lower. Ethanol futures at $2.33, down 3.5¢. Natural gas on the day at $4.59¹, up a nickel and 7¢. And diesel fuel at $2.88¹, down 0.6¢ per gallon. Gold futures, $1,243.70, finished down $2.10, and the U.S. dollar at 80.63 is up 0.27 on the afternoon. Let's check in on the weather forecast and what it says from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area. This afternoon, we should see for the afternoon a few rainstorms in the area. A high of 83 degrees, and then this evening mostly cloudy and a low of 69. A south-southwest wind at 8 to 14 miles an hour. That'll gust all the way to 20. And then on Tuesday, sunny skies with a high near 86 degrees. As we look forward into Wednesday, showers and thunderstorms are likely, mostly cloudy and a high of 83. It'll be breezy with a southeast wind at 10 to 15 miles an hour. That'll turn to the south-southwest during the day at 18 to 23. Winds could gust as high as 32 on Wednesday with chance of precipitation there set at 60%. On Thursday, mostly sunny skies, thank you, and 75 degrees. Friday, sunny and 76. And Saturday, partly sunny and 78 degrees. On Sunday, a chance of showers, a few thunderstorms, and mostly cloudy, a high near 76. We'll take a more detailed look at the weather forecast when we get closer to the bottom of the half hour. Right here on the Closing Market Report, it does come to you from Illinois Public Media and the University of Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
You're listening to Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Let's take a bit of time now to come to you at the end of our year and the beginning, Les Schulte, of our next year to do some important business. As you know, this is kind of a private-public partnership. And part of that private partnership is with you, our listeners. We'd like you to pledge your financial support for the agricultural programming. And if it makes a difference to you, if it really does make up a big part of your marketing plan or part of your marketing plan, if it's part of your regular business day to tune in and listen to our agricultural programming, why don't you dial up this number right now, 217-244-9455, to pledge your financial support by June 30th. We always try to have, in fact, not always, we always have all of the money in the bank that we spend for the coming fiscal year. We do things a little differently here at WILL and have for more than a few decades, Les Schulte. And it's part of the reason that this service survives. It's there because our listeners give, especially for agricultural programming. Let me say that I'd like you to give at the $200 level, but any level actually works, 217-244-9455.
That's right, Todd. $200 would be great if that fits into your budget, or that $100 level, or maybe that $500 level. If you use the service a lot, and we know that on our website, the agricultural podcasts are some of the most used pieces of business that we have on our website. So if you find yourself going to our website, downloading a podcast, listen to those reports again, maybe something like that, maybe Commodity Week on the weekends, if you use this service, we're asking you now to put a value on this service. We're into the last month of our year, our fiscal year, the money that we have in the bank, as Todd said, that's the money we're going to spend on products and services and programs for you next year. And if you use our agricultural service, if you really depend on the information that we give you to help you make your decisions in your farming operation right now, take a moment, call 217-244-9455. Maybe go to our website, willpledge.org, and make your contribution right there. You can put that on your credit card. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, or American Express. Become a friend of WILL right now.
Now, we'll be here today, tomorrow, and the next day asking you for your pledge of financial support. But frankly, I don't want you to wait. I want you to do it right now, 217-244-9455. If you listen online or it's easier, just go to our website, willag.org, the one you always go to. And there's a big red donate box up at the top of the page. Hit that. It only takes about a minute and a half. However you do it, if you call in at 217-244-9455 or you go to the website directly, and on the website, you can hit agriculture there. Make sure you tell them agriculture and you're supporting us. Thanks so much. We do appreciate it. Let's take a look at how the numbers finished up in Chicago and what the trade meant with a bit of analysis on this second day of June 2014. Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, tell me about the marketplace for the day, because I saw a lot of red early on and then corn managed to finish a little higher.
Yeah, we were able to go to some lower levels earlier and then came back with some decent volume. Wasn't a big volume day. China supposedly had a small holiday, Dragon Boat Festival Day in China. I did not Google that to see what that entailed. But
it sounds fun, whatever it is.
Sounds like they've got Hallmark card shops there, too.
Maybe.
But anyway, we've got a... a fairly decent close. East corn went close to 450 level and was able to find some buying support. Did manage to record a hook reversal up. Beans were nasty there earlier this morning. Was able to climb up out of the hole, especially the Julys. We saw quite a bit of renewed buying in the bull spread, buying the old crop, selling the new. Then wheat went close to trying to fill the chart gap in the July futures contract at 610 to 616 area. Still closed lower on the day, but hopefully it finds some support here and start to attract some world buyers to take advantage of these lower levels, Todd.
And it's kind of interesting that the nearby July contract posted a nice little outside update today. In the beans, that is.
Yeah, we continue to see the supply-demand balance sheet signal, you know, title crop supplies, especially, you know, with these imports of 90 million bushels. Now, the significance of the imports, though, when you talk to the commercial guys, ideas are that they're not going to get here in time. They're going to have to rely on some early harvest activity here this fall to help, you know, supply the need we have coming at us here as we approach end of the summer, first of fall. So we'll see how that unfolds. The crop report will be out next week on the 11th, I believe. So we'll have a whole new array of numbers to look at.
No, that'll make the basis levels jump along the lower Mississippi and maybe the Ohio River, I would think, trying to search out those beans and head them where, out to the southeast and the poultry and pork farms?
Yeah, it'll be spotty, a lot of logistics involved. You'll see some processors or users take some downtime, try to stall, and whenever they do need some inventory to work with, there'll be some fairly good bids. But it's going to be spotty and erratic over time. So we'll see how that develops as we move into the summertime window.
Hey, thanks for taking the time with us.
Very good.
That is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
Now, up next, you know, crop markets have two primary functions. One is to allocate available supply so that stocks are neither depleted nor in surplus by the end of the second is to direct planted acreage so that supplies result in reasonable prices for producers and users of the crop in the coming marketing year. I'll have more on how the market has done on that second point. Leading up to the 2014 planting season, prices for the 2014 corn and soybean crops were generally encouraging the planting of more soybeans and fewer corn acres in the United States. When surveyed in March, producers indicated they would respond to the market signals by increasing soybean plantings by about 7% and reducing corn acreage by roughly 4%. Prices rallied after the release of the planting intentions report, but for a good part of the spring, the price ratio remained constant. Well, that ratio has now changed, says University of Illinois ag economist Darryl Good.
December corn futures began to decline on May 12th and are now about 30 cents lower than on May 11th. On the other hand, November soybean futures increased by 50 cents in the third week of May. The ratio of November soybean futures to December corn futures moved sharply higher during that period and remains at the elevated level. The behavior of new crop corn and soybean prices late in the planting season reflected how the market interpreted planting progress estimates and provided new signals for late-season planting decisions.
The run-up in new crop soybean prices may have been an attempt to encourage producers to continue to plant soybeans rather than considering prevented planted provisions of crop insurance. The impact of spring price and weather conditions on producer planting decisions will be revealed in the USDA's acreage report. It's due out June the 30th.
While overall corn planting progress remained near the five-year average pace through May 18th, there were significant geographical differences in planting progress. Progress was 25 to 37 percentage points behind the average pace in Michigan, Minnesota, North Dakota, and Wisconsin. Those four states accounted for 20% of the intended corn acreage this year. It may be that some of those acres will not be planted to corn.
Ultimately, the question is not if planted acreage was near intentions revealed in March, says Illinois' Darryl Good, but rather if planted acreage results in a level of production that yields reasonable prices for both crops in the 14-15 marketing year. That answer, well, it won't be known for some time. You can always find more from Darryl Good online, of course, at the Farm Doc Daily website. That's farmdocdaily.illinois.edu each and every Monday. He updates the weekly outlook. Now, you know, speaking of Farm Doc Daily, it is part of the land grant mission as it has been defined by the University of Illinois. That system was established, you might recall, under President Abraham Lincoln. There is a land grant in each of the 50 states, and some of them have more than one. These have served the nation really well. but times have changed, and their influence is less directly apparent to the public sometimes. I'll have more on the future of the land-grant system with the president of the University of Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
President Abraham Lincoln signed into law the 1862 Morrill Act, establishing the nation's land-grant university system. The mission was to educate the industrial classes about the science of agriculture and mechanical engineering. The Industrial Revolution was in full swing, and the nation, each state, needed to prepare its people for life off the farm, says the president of the University of Illinois, Robert Easter.
There was a need for engineers, of course, to develop factories and technology, and so that was an early mission of the university. But if you were going to have people living in cities and working in factories and all the other activities that surround an industrial economy, there needed to be a dramatic increase in the efficiency with which food could be produced. The land-grant university system across the United States played a critical role over the next 50, 75 years in dramatically increasing the efficiency of food production to the point that about 2% of our population is actively involved today. It's a remarkable achievement if you think about it.
The land grants helped the farmers that stayed in rural America feed their home states and the nation. However, those farmers are now responsible for feeding the planet. The United Nations predicts overall global food production will increase by some 70% through 2050. It means agricultural education and research must be of the highest priority, thanks Illinois' Bob Easter.
The demand, the pressure on colleges of agriculture, regardless of where they're located in the world, to increase efficiency on a not very much larger amount of land, but to do it much more efficiently and in ways that are sustainable, is enormous. So as I look to the future, I see great opportunity for agricultural scientists, for students who seek careers in agriculture, and for those who work in that industry.
Interestingly, those choosing this career path and the politicians funding the land-grant system are unlikely to clearly see the results, the applications and achievements of their endeavors and support. They'll be there in the future, but not with a flag raised high.
The role of the university remains fundamental. And what that means is that often agricultural research contributions may not, in our case, arrive at the user, the farmer, orange and blue, because the direct connection is not obvious. But if you look at the underlying principles that are behind most of what's new in agriculture today, you eventually find that it was developed at a university like the University of Illinois.
The mission of the land-grant system has shifted from direct delivery of new technologies to farmers in the industries that support a nation, a global economy, to providing the underlying education, science, and research developments to be delivered by the private sector. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
And you're listening to the Closing Market Report here on WILL. And good afternoon. I'm Les Schulte. I'm joining Todd here in the studio for just a few minutes to ask for your support for programs like the agricultural news and information that you receive here on this station. This is an important month for WILL and for the programs that you're going to hear on this station starting July the 1st, because come July 1st, we start a brand new year, brand new budget year. And the way we do things around here, the money that we have in the bank on June the 30th, that's going to be the money that we have to budget for programs for you next year. So if you have not yet made your contribution to WILL, we're asking you right now to go to the phone and call 217-244-9455, or maybe do it online at willpledge.org. Think about a $100 or maybe even a $200 contribution.
Oh, I like the $200.
I know you do,
yeah,
Todd.
I changed. Times have changed, man.
All right.
Is always
okay, $200 then. That makes you happy.
Yeah, well, it'll make me happy as long as they roll in, baby. As long as they roll
That's
in at
right.
$200.
So put that on your credit card, your Visa, your MasterCard, your Discover, or American Express. And what we're really asking you to do is put a value on the service and then make a call and make a contribution to help support this service. 217-244-9455 or online at willpledge.org.
You know, I don't think we can really discount the fact that WILL, Illinois Public Media, works really hard to bring agricultural programming to the listenership in a broadly agricultural rural area across Illinois, Indiana, and then online. And we're hopeful that everybody chips in and helps us out. We know that they don't. But if you are ready, right now is 217-244-9455, the number to call. And we would really appreciate it. The other thing is, working ahead, having the money in the bank really ensures a good deal for you, because we know what we have to spend for the coming year, and that makes a big difference. Not all places do it that way, but we put it into the bank, and then we have a budget, and we stay within the budget for the year. It just works really well.
It does, Todd, and that way we can look at that budget at when we start July the 1st, the money that we have in the bank, and say, can we expand services this year? Can we add something new to our agricultural services or to our news programming or whatever the programs that we have and can bring to you? Or do we have to kind of cut back a little bit because we don't have the funds there necessary to do that? We think that's the responsible way to do it. And if you think that's valuable to for your public station to look at their finances that way, step up, make a call, make a pledge of support right now at 217-244-9455 or willpledge.org, or just go to willag.org and click the pledge button.
Yeah, the donate button. It's a big red box up at the top of the page at willag.org. We'll talk with you again, Les, in just a bit. Let's turn our attention to the cash grain market on the phone line. Brian Stark at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Brian.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, what kind of business are you doing today?
It's been pretty slow. I think most of our farmers are doing field work, side dressing, getting caught up. I think there's still a few beans that have to go on the ground, and obviously waiting for the weather to dry out a little bit to finish those. So it's been quiet.
Yeah, so I was driving around. Looks like everything's done for the most part, but there are a few spots that were broadly not planted yesterday. I was surprised.
Yeah, I'm surprised too, but there's been some areas, obviously, that have had excess water, few and far between. I would say for the most part, most of it is done, and we've moved on, like I said, to the side dressing component for corn. And if you look around, there isn't much that doesn't look good right now. I think the crop's off to a very good start, and we've had some timely rain, so the farmers tend to be pleased.
Yeah, what do you think we're going to show this afternoon when we get the crop progress reports?
Well, it wouldn't surprise me if corn nationwide is 95% complete on corn planting. Bean planting, maybe 75%. I think the good to excellent ratings, you could see a 70% number this afternoon. We'll see at least upper 60s, but I think the ratings for the first condition report is going to probably be pretty high.
All right, and your bids for the day look like what?
We are 458 cash corn, new crop corn is 433, cash soybeans 1525, new crop beans 1210, and new crop wheat 606.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
That is Brian Stark. He's at the Andersons, joins us here on the closing market report for this Monday afternoon. Have you dialed in yet at 217-244-9455 if you've been waiting? Don't do it any longer. Do it right now. If you're online and you're listening, you can go ahead and hit that red button at the top of the page at willag.org. I kind of like the $200 level, but anything is perfectly fine. It's just important that you support agriculture, and that vein, make sure you tell the person you talk to that you're calling in support of agriculture. If you're online, just click those buttons that say you're supporting agriculture, and you do it there at willag.org or online for the phone number at 217-244-9455. We'll be back in just a second, and we'll take a look at the weather forecast here on the Closing Market Report.
It's National Mint Julep Day. The origins of the mint julep are clouded, but the first appearance of a mint julep in print came in a book by John Davis, published in London in 1803. But the recipe did not specify the use of bourbon. The mint julep became the signature drink at Churchill Downs in 1938. It was first served in a souvenir glass for 75 cents. On this day in agricultural history in 1783, the first daily American newspaper was published in Philadelphia, the Pennsylvania Evening Post. By the way, the Declaration of Independence's first appearance in a newspaper was in that publication. In 1834, Nancy Johnson received the first U.S. patent for an ice cream freezer. The freezer had a revolving shaft with two curved wings to move the cream. The ice cream tub itself also turned. In 1864, Johann Bodmer died, a Swiss mechanic. He established a small factory in 1824 that made the process from carding to spinning wool continuous. The first of its kind machinery was widely adopted in England and the U.S. and is regarded as having revolutionized the industry. And in 1899, George Cook patented an automatic fishing device. The device featured a trip lever activated by tension on the fishing line, which would also ring an alarm gong and take up the line on a spring drive reel. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. The folks at Earth Risk Technologies are out of the office and unavailable for an update of the weather forecast on this afternoon. But let's take a look at what it is for the Urbana-Champaign area today. Showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. A few rain showers already in the area. Mostly cloudy. A high of 83 degrees. A southwest wind at 17 miles an hour. It will gust as high as 32 this afternoon, so it'll be windy this afternoon, just like it has been all day long. Chance of rainfall in the area set at 60% tonight, mostly cloudy and a low of 69 on a south-southwest wind at 8 to 14 miles an hour. That one will gust all the way to 20. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny skies, 86 degrees, winds out of the west at 9 to 11, gusting to 16, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 1 a.m. tomorrow night. Increasing clouds, with a low of 66 degrees on a west wind at 5 to 9. And then on Wednesday, showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy and a high near 83 degrees. It'll be breezy then, with a southeast wind at 10 to 15 miles an hour. That'll turn to the southwest at 18 to 23. Winds could gust all the way again to 32 on Wednesday. Chance of rainfall set at 60%. A 40% chance of showers on Wednesday evening. Mostly cloudy and a low of 60. And then we finally start to clear things out. Thursday, sunny skies and 75. It should be beautiful in the area. Partly cloudy with a low of 58. Thursday evening, sunny skies 76 on Friday. Partly sunny on Saturday and 78. Saturday night, the rainfall may come back, mostly cloudy otherwise, in 62. And Sunday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy as we look forward to the start of the next week and a high of just 76 degrees. You can always find the weather forecast on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. The other thing you'll find there is a nice little red button up at the top of the page that says donate on it. And it is a great way for you to pledge your financial support to the agricultural programming here at Illinois Public Media. If you haven't done so already, please do right now. It makes a difference today. It makes a difference to myself. It makes a difference to the managers here because we put all the money in the bank before we spend it. It has to be there by June the 30th. And we're looking for, a pretty good sized amount, although we've raised a lot of money today and kind of like to continue the momentum. Something in the neighborhood of $71,000 for the day. And
off to a great start here, Todd. As we start June, we have a $350,000 gap to meet the budget goal by the end of June. And that is a big number. And that's why we're having this sort of mini jumpstart campaign to get things rolling, to get the month rolling. And we started the morning. We had this $40,000 challenge this morning.
Yep.
We met that this morning. And it's been a great day. People have been responding to the message that the programs you hear on this station, the agricultural programs that you're used to hearing, the analysis, the weather, that's all here because of you and the support that you provide these stations. Right now, so far, we have raised $71,341 on our Jumpstart campaign today.
Yeah, that's a great thing. And we'd like to finish it up with, $80,000. So if you can jump in at $200 or $500 or $50, Do it right now. If you're supporting agriculture, make sure you let them know. Whether you're online, you can just click a button, or if you're calling the phone number, 217-244-9455, let them know you're supporting agriculture, however you do it. Thank you so very much for making that pledge of financial support. The number again to call, 217-244-9455. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.